Thank you for tuning in to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio on LivePanorama.com. Hosted by owners Robert Zarek and Nikki Paranormal. Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio. My name is Nikki Paranormal, and I'm just one of the hosts. There's two. The other's Rob Zarek. Let's bring him in. Hello.
Good evening. How are you doing?
Well, hello.
I got good. I thought you weren't saying who the other host was. Yeah, I got scared. Maybe it wasn't me tonight.
And I could be like host position available, right?
Right. Anyway, you're telling me how you were, so go ahead. I apologize.
Oh, I am surprisingly wide awake because, you see, my dog decided last night that that whole sleep thing was not going to happen. And I have a really big dog, so it's not like a little bark, like a yelpy bark. No, my dog is like a bark and growl. She's a big dog, you know, and you can't sleep through that. I don't care who you are. I had to go handle it. I had to keep letting her in and out. She was like playing a game. So I got like no sleep last night, and I've gone back to working at, you know, being there at 9 a.m. And surprisingly enough, I have had no nap, and I'm awake, and I don't even know how, but I'm happy to be here. How's your day?
I think it's because you're super excited for tonight's show.
I am.
My day is going well. I found out I'm progressing more than I should be with my injury and my recovery. And that's exciting because I'm excited to get back on the road and investigate, which looks like we will be doing within the next month or so. And, something to look forward to rather than like my next doctor's appointment. Because I'll be honest with you, looking forward to your next doctor's appointment is pretty lame. Pun intended.
I'm pretty sure that, but that makes you kind of like, I remember my great-grandmother getting ready, okay, the days beforehand, and was excited and had like this, you know, excitement. Not that she didn't get out much, it was just, I guess, you know, status quo, all the older ladies had to be really stoked to go to the doctors. So, yeah, don't do that. Don't do that.
So I'm pretty sure you just compared me to an old lady, but that's fine. I can take it.
Well, I'm just saying it's kind of one of
those
things.
Don't go there, yeah. I realized that as I was saying, that's probably not, like, a cool thing to say.
Yeah, you
just
walked
like we were
right
having
into
a conversation. I know, we had the conversation, it was a couple of weeks ago, that I was, like, super pumped up that I got the surgeon I wanted for my surgery. And I stopped halfway through, and I'm like, isn't that pretty sad? That's, like, what my life has come to, that I'm,
kind of,
that
yeah.
excites me, but.
That's, like, the biggest, like, win of the day. Guess what? What?
<Yes. laughs>
I had the most amazing news, and it's like, wow, did you, like, win the lottery? Or, you know, I don't know, get a raise? No, I got the surgeon I wanted. It's like, oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure that is the actual text message I sent. I'm like, you're not going to believe this.
This is
amazing. And you're like,
and I was like,
No, you said
that's
good.
Great.
And later on, we both like, when we rehashed it over the phone, we're like, I was like, does that sound as bad as it thought it did? And you're like, yeah, it did. But at the time, though, I was legitimately
sure
happy.
Did.
But besides that, my day is going
and
well.
And understandable.
I'm
I mean,
show.
It's. Me too. And it's great to have a, you know, when you have to have a surgery, to have the person who, you know, you would want to have doing it, being the one who's going to, it is a win. It's just not a more, you know, not like winning the lottery per se.
No. And I'll be honest
but
with you, the guy knows how to handle me. And I think maybe he just has a similar personality. Like when I broke my hip, which, oh my God, another old lady type thing. When I fell and broke my hip. But you
90.
Know, like when I asked, do I need a handicap pass for the car?
Mm-hmm.
He was like, for what reason? He's like, you know, I want you to park the farthest way possible and walk it out. I'm like, okay, I think this will be good. So, you know, that, and that's very, I'm very, I'm sympathetic. I don't know. I guess there could be times that sympathy isn't my strong point.
Yeah, for sure.
I think
100%.
Right. So I think that might be like where I can appreciate someone who has also that type of personality, because it's I found that part motivating. And I think, you know, even this time, you know, even though he was like, long term, you're going to be, you know, back to these like athletes. I repair athletes, and you know, they get back and play. They don't have to retire, so that's good. You know, but then on the other spectrum, he's just like, need to stop doing, you know, freak injuries and stuff. And the downside was, is it's much more of an issue than a broken bone, a tendon, which I was like, hey, it can't be that bad, until I got actually have gotten into the therapy and stuff. I realized it's
and
much
it
more of an issue. It's much more of an issue than a broken bone. You know, the broken bone, they cut open your muscle, and then your muscle heals. You need to rework that muscle. Good to go. This is like my tendon is like, has 1 million bands wrapped around it, and there's nothing that I can do to move it. I'm literally looking at my leg and I'm like, well, all
right,
let's get going.
Move,
and my leg's looking,
right.
It's like, you're not going anywhere. Which is just like the most bizarre feeling. It's just like, it's the tightness that I've never felt out of anything I've ever done. It's just the most bizarre feeling, and I don't recommend it.
Yeah, I would say. I mean, from the looks and your descriptions there, and of you know everything, I don't want to ever see that. Thank
no,
you.
No, I don't recommend.
I'll pass. You know, like pass, please. No thanks.
But what I was going
yeah,
to
yeah, I don't
bringing
wanna,
it back,
I know that one.
Bringing it back through to the whole
way
radio
around.
Show thing. Yeah, there's no like and then, you know, or there's no
segue
like, perfect
for that.
Segue. No.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking
yeah.
of, you know, torn ligaments or torn tendons,
mm-hmm.
you know, I guess,
right,
you know.
of course.
what is cool about tonight, and you may not feel the same, but I think so. And I think what I like about it is that we're doing the Spotlight Radio, which we do Spotlight Radio free reading night. It's like our thing. You know, we do it on the weekends now, and it's kind of something we've been offering. But it's not like, this is kind of like both shows colliding, where it's, we're going to, you know, interview someone we wanted to interview, you know, who's in our field, in both being, you know, even just an investigator and talking to her about, you know, the paranormal stuff. And on top of it, we're throwing in like a psychic reading thing as well. So it's kind of like both shows in one. Because a lot of times, you know, even though we interviewed the psychic on, you know, they may not be into the same things that we're into. You know, we can relate, but they're not, you know, they've never been out or experienced, you know, the type of things that we've experienced, or even, you know the terminologies. So, you know, I think that part will be fun, and just to hear her story, and, you know, and on top of everything else, then do the free reading. So it's kind of like a two-in-one type show.
Yeah, no, And that's super exciting, because, as you know, I love psychics and I love the paranormal. So it's kind of like my dream show, my ideal show is to have the mesh, like the mix, bringing the world together.
See, now, if
I
we
just
only
wish I could get that psychic skill to rub off on me. Then I'd be like,
you know, you never know. I think we both have our days. We both have our things,
yeah.
But I was going to say, for me, if we can only find like a former Ohio State football player who also is a psychic and enjoys the paranormal, then that would be perfect. That'd be the perfect show. But, or, you know, I don't think that's going to happen. Like our fan, someone who we can relate, we can talk about football too, but that would be my trifecta, but it's very rare.
Yeah, no thanks. I'm good.
No.
Not my jam.
Well, it's okay. There's not much brewing in sports world right now anyway, except for something I did send you, a friend of ours, Rashard, it signed with the Browns again, and he's got a bit of controversy because he decided to change his number, and this is where you probably do not care, but he changed his number from 81 to 82, Now, you won't know who Ozzie Newsome is because he was the general manager of the Baltimore Ravens, but he came with the team. Instead of staying in Cleveland, he decided to move with them, which is a big mistake, you know, from the fans' point. So he is a Hall of Famer. He should have had his number retired. One of the only players that don't have their numbers retired with that kind of, like, resume. And so now, because it's not retired, Rashard wants to take his number and was granted his number. So it's like a big thing of controversy here. So, but he's pumped up and ready to investigate again too. So I want to we should put out when we were at the House of Wills with him, that video again, because we put it together and then we never re-heard it. Parts that we put in that weren't part of the live stream. So we should air that again in honor of his signing. Or just in honor of us.
You're right. I think we should, because it was really awesome. It was really an awesome investigation, too, and I think it's, you know, it's worthy of a review. It's a lot of review.
Well, and we had a lot of activity, and
I missed
the fact that I think I just missed investigating. I've been looking through all of our clips, and I just renewed some of our driver systems that we keep all of our files on, or some of our files on. And I tell you what, when you haven't been out and about, and the worst thing to do is to watch, like, old awesome investigations, because it, like, really, I think that's, like, not mentally.
It's kind of rubbing it in. It's
healthy.
Like pouring salt in the wound, maybe.
It would
is that
be
like,
like when your loved one just died, and you're staring at their pictures and watching home videos and crying. That'd
it's
be
like Facebook giving you that reminder. Last year's, you know, memories. Or mine now, I have not only Facebook, but I also have Amazon Photos. And it's notifying me 9 years ago today. And I'm just waiting. Like, I haven't had any super sad ones yet because I just put everything together and actually have it showing up. But it'll come. It will come. And I'll be like, thanks a lot. And I'll not only have Facebook to say, I'll also say, and Amazon for reminding me, you know, because that can just kind of set your day into a sad, sad day. The memory. You know?
Well, you know, it's funny with the Facebook one. And I think what I find the most bizarre with that is that they take every memory, or at least every memory that I have ever seen, and they put balloons around it. So it's like,
right?
Even if I've had one where I was like, "Oh my God, I had to have emergency surgery," and it's like balloons around it.
Right.
So it's like, hey, it's a happy day. Or I'm sure there's people out there like, hey, someone died. And they get a memory that's
right.
You know,
not
has
so
balloon
worthy.
Around it.
Right.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Not fun. But
yeah,
I know it'll happen, and I'm sure it probably already has happened. I have been reminded of some things in with that popping up that weren't a loss, like a death, but they were some feelings that, you know, like with a former job that I had that just like made me so mad after seeing it, it like reignited the anger, you know, so it can work one of two ways. Cause I did see some too that made me like remember like when my kids were little, you know, and how cute they were, and you know, they're still cute sometimes, but now their mouths run more. So, but you know, the good times, but then it also can enrage you with the bad times. So I guess give and take, you know. It
well,
is
I think
what it
that,
is.
That is, that's a good point. You know, and it's, or you know what I find is I'll have something with like, hey, we're going to be releasing this amazing evidence. And then I'll get like a reminder 2 years later, like, hey, check out this photo. It's like, it shows coming soon, amazing evidence. And then 2 years later, I still haven't put the evidence out. And I'm like, Jesus. Am I that much of a procrastinator that like Facebook has to even remind me 2 years down the line? And I'm talking about like, and the sad thing is with evidence, and I think everyone, I don't think it's just me. And still, it's funny because to this day, I joke because I say we have never reviewed our evidence from our very first investigation together, which was like, 6 years ago, if not more. Is I'll randomly send you stuff, and it'll be from investigations we had from years ago. And so it's like reviewing evidence sometimes is just very difficult. You know, it's like, especially when you do so many.
Yeah, or like when I go on the road and or stay at one location, like when I move into a location, which I haven't done in a while, but when I did, and still I'm willing to, by the way. But anyway, I have like the last one that I did, I was there for over 30 days, right? So when you're there for over 30 days and you have cameras running on multiple floors, and at least you know, maybe not all the listeners, but at least you know how many cameras I have. And I don't even think you've seen every single one of my cameras yet. I have a lot. And all my audio recorders. It's impossible because I literally have them running. The only time that they're down is when I basically either unplug, change batteries, or I am removing the SD card, putting a new SD card in and hitting record. And I always have another one running, you know, that captures anything that could happen in the middle because I've learned my lesson. It seems to be most activity happens when something is either the battery died or you're changing the battery or you're not recording, you know. So I try to prevent having opportunities like that. But imagine coming home with like, I mean, it's well over a terabyte. It's so much to review. And if nothing's happening, you know, which let's face it, you can go to one of the most active locations on the planet. And just because it's super active doesn't mean that it's going to perform for you. And not every floor or every area that you might have a camera has activity. So then you're sitting there and you're basically watching something that stays exactly the same the entire time, you know? It's just like nerve-wracking.
Well, I think the funny thing for me is when I sent you a clip a couple of days ago, and I thought it was a really good clip, and it was from an investigation. It was over a year ago. I don't even know why I decided to like start playing that. I guess the fact is I had to clear up the drive and start playing stuff. And it's funny that I wish I had more time to review. And I think there's like ones that when we're investigating, we actually take and remember or timestamp or say, hey,
right,
you know, let's go back and review that. But then there's so much stuff that comes through that when we don't even realize. And I think
right. That's
the thing that I'm even like, it's sad to think like we probably have like full sentences and people say, hey, look at me. And all this crazy stuff on audio and video, and we just haven't even, like, looked at it yet from, like,
years
ago.
Well, that's just it. I know I have footage from multiple locations that I just, it's not that I don't want to. It's just that there's not enough time on the planet, especially, like I said, when you're watching one room. You could start to see things if you do it for too long, you know, like, that aren't really there. So you got to be, like, on point when you're doing this. You can't be drowsy or whatever or distracted. And, there's some that I just have not gotten to. I hopefully will get to it one day. But when you're on that investigation and you have something happen that is so exciting that you basically get home or get to a hotel or wherever you're going or you go to the break room and you bring it up right then and there, those are the best.
We do have success in
you know,
that, right?
Like they're rewarding. They're rewarding. That's what they are.
But when it comes to like going back and stuff, it's you know, it's time consuming, like you said. So it's
a labor of love.
I just think it's you know, and why I brought that up is I know our guest tonight investigates as well, and you know I'm. When we bring her on, I'm very interested to see like how it for someone who's a psychic and an investigator, you know, we deal with them often and how they do and don't turn on and off their gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's that would be the most interesting thing to have is, you know, both things firing at one time. you being able to use your gift, but then also investigating. So
right.
What if it, you know, does it always match up? You know, I don't know.
I bet you I'm going to be super jealous because, you know what, as a psychic, perhaps review is potentially, I mean, it might not be, but it could be potentially more, you know, compact because you'll know whether something's on there or, you know, when you're actually at the space, you'll be able to interpret more than someone who's not sensitive. So maybe their review's faster and I'll have another reason to be super jealous of the gift. You think?
That would be awesome. But I think
that would be. Then I'd have to ask someone to help me who's psychic to review my stuff because they I have a lot. I have a lifetime of footage.
Well, and that's what I don't, you know, I don't know. You know, and I always
right.
think I'm wrong.
Well, that's,
so
that's what
myself.
We need to ask. And I feel silly asking sometimes, but I guess, you know, if I have that question, then I'm sure someone else has probably thought it before, too. I can't be the only one, right? Or maybe I am.
Well, I was gonna say something like I feel silly no matter what question you ask. But I don't know. I'm trying to be kind today.
Why are you trying now? You haven't been for so long. Why would you start today? Is it because it's Cinco de Mayo? Happy Cinco de Mayo, everybody.
It's not the same
during this quarantine. It's not the same. I used to go out for Cinco de Mayo.
I never really went out.
I miss that.
Yeah.
I think drinking a Corona might be taboo now. I don't know.
It's one of those catch 22
a
things,
little
right?
controversial. People give you looks or something like mm-hmm, judgy.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Let's bring our guest on. We'll ask her all the questions we have, and then we'll get some free readings done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I struggle
let's
with the
do
word
it.
Done. I was like, wow.
Are you okay there?
Done.
You got it out,
yeah,
Rob?
I don't know what
done. There you go.
I got done. That was one of those crazy words.
That's a hard one, but I'm glad you got it out.
Yeah, easy,
all right.
Easy
I'm going
to
bring our guest on. Yes. Hello, Sheena.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
We are good.
I am wonderful. I'm thrilled to be with you two tonight.
We are excited to have you on. It's kind of like, you know, we do the free reading nights, we do the Paranormal Spotlight show. So this is kind of like a double dip, like they're crossing to each other.
Crossover.
You know, it is. It's a huge crossover because there's a lot of times that we have friends who are psychics and mediums, but they do not investigate. And so, you know, they'll ask us questions and you can tell they're just being nice because they have no idea what we're talking about. You know, they're like, oh, we've never been on an investigation. They're like, oh, yeah, that's cool. And, you know, they're probably, you know, making fun of us or whatever. But, you know, this is, you know, something that's, you know, with your interest in the paranormal and your experiences, you know, and the fact this is right up our alley. So we're excited and legitimately excited, not just saying that for show purposes.
Oh,
no,
I'm so excited to be here with you. I don't know if the two of you know this, but my interest in the paranormal began because I grew up in an extremely active negative home.
I do know about that. Was that in Maryland by chance?
Uh-huh. Yep. So I grew up
in
the paranormal.
That's where I live.
Really? Is where you live now?
I live in Maryland right now, yes.
Oh, is your house haunted?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
We
joked part of Maryland
before the
are you
show.
In?
I'm in Mount Airy, Carroll County.
Okay. Okay. I grew up outside of Townsend, kind of between Baltimore and the Pennsylvania border.
I actually lived in the Towson area before I
there
moved
you
here.
There you
crazy,
go.
Crazy.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes. I lived right
I
by the Gunpowder River.
Know where.
Yeah. I lived in
I
a town
like
called Glenarm.
Where in Maryland? Oh, my
yep,
God. Yes,
Glenarm,
no,
Maryland.
That's
where
I
lived,
used to live. I lived in Glenarm.
You
and
lived
I'm
in
not
Glenarm?
Even kidding. I can send you my old license. Yes, I did.
Oh, well, then I will tell you that the haunted house was on Wagon Wheel Court.
That was not where I lived, but I think I do
which
know
is,
where that is.
Which is only, it's like when you go down the Gunpowder Road, right, and then you make a left on whatever street that is where the river is, where the bridge is, And then you kind of go
yep.
down a hill, and then you make – if you make a right and go up a steep hill, that's Wagon Wheel Court. And
oh, my gosh. I swear to God, I think I,
yeah.
like, lived less than a mile away from there. I'm not even kidding.
And it's
I'm looking it up right now.
Because, because if your porn name is supposed to be your pet's name and you're the street you grew up on, then my porn name is Bunky Wagon Wheel, which is pretty awesome. If you're going to have a
that
porn
kind
name,
of
it should be Bunky
epic.
Wagon Wheel. So, that's interesting because my best friend from junior high, who now lives in Pennsylvania, we found each other on Facebook like 10 years ago, and she said, I'm going to be in the area. Do you want me to take a picture of the house? And I said, yeah, sure. So she took a bit, and it was terrifying. It's like the Haunting of Hill House. Like it's all grown over with ivy, and the grass was like 3 feet tall. And I don't know if anybody lives there or not. And I was like, oh my God, it's now as scary on the outside as it is on the inside.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see how far. I swear this is insane.
But there
That's
was some
awesome.
Crazy stuff
yeah.
there, because the house at the end of the street by whatever that big street is that you would know that I can't think of, they used to hide during the Civil War. They were Southern sympathizers there, and they hid Confederate soldiers in the attic, and many of them died there. And my mom, who was also a psychic medium, woke up once in the middle of the night. We had a laundry room that my parents had built to connect the kitchen and the garage. And she was doing the laundry, and there were two big windows in the front. And she looked up from switching the laundry and saw this entire Civil War setting on our front lawn. And
oh,
she
wow.
looked down, and she was in 1800s clothes, and then she just burst into tears, which is weird because my mom was a tough Irish lady who survived the Depression and did not cry easy. So there was all kinds of crazy stuff that happened there, and I just believe that whole part of Maryland is extremely active.
Oh,
so I
yeah.
kind of got thrust into
oh,
the paranormal
yeah.
because I was trying to figure out what in the world had happened to me in that house. And that was sort of how I began researching our modern-day paranormal community. And when I first started the current radio shows that I do now at LA Talk Radio 11 years ago, I've been in radio since 94, I started having guests on from all the paranormal shows that I'd see them on TV and look them up on Facebook back in the day when you could do that, and just sort of started telling my own story on the air with them as a way to validate, so they didn't think I was going to be one of those skeptical weirdos with the weird question, oh, this ghost thing, is this real? And then people started saying, you know, you should tell your story, and it honestly never occurred to me that I should tell my story. So that's kind of how I wound up in the paranormal community. And it was honestly the paranormal community. I was listening to a little bit of your show while I was on hold. It was the paranormal community that sort of gave me the courage to come out of the psychic closet. So
really?
I'm very thankful to the community for that.
Very cool.
Well, we find it, you know, with doing the shows, and we have a lot of friends that are psychics. It's always fun to find out how they get their information, how they process their information, and then apply it, if they do investigate, to an investigation. So,
sure.
you know, I guess that if we're going to do the standard, oh, let's do the interview part, that's what we would want to know. Like, when you get, how did you, so you came out of, you said, the psychic closet, how did you, you know, realize you had that gift? And then how do you take and you process it? How do you receive your information, and then how do you apply it? So I gave you four parts, so apparently you're going to be speaking
okay.
for the next like 10 or 15 minutes. But
okay, good.
Go for
I made
it.
Notes. Well, it's kind of a long situation, right? My mother was a psychic medium who did not come out of the closet till I was 19, and we had moved to California. We moved to California when I was 13. So after I got out of high school, she started taking classes and then confessed that funny thing that she did, which was like, oh, that's your uncle on the phone, your grandmother's dead, was actually that she had gifts that she had never told anybody about. But my mother's gifts were so big and so profound that it never occurred to me that things that had happened my entire childhood, now looking back, were gifts, because I thought gifts were gifts the size of my mother's gifts. Never occurred to me that I was a kid. So when I was 23, I was in an auto accident and I had a near-death experience. And I came back from that very different. And I started seeing shadow figures out of the corners of my eyes and feeling people's stuff, like somebody would be in front of me talking to me about something, and it's like I would hear one thing with my ears, with their mouth talking, and then I would feel something coming out of their solar plexus, that I would feel in my solar plexus. And again, still, I didn't think it was gifts. I just thought it was tuition. And I grew up with a spiritually open mom, and I'm Irish, and we feel everybody's stuff. Like, it never occurred to me that it was actually really gifts. And when I was in haunted houses investigating places, and I could see things, and I could talk to spirits, and I could feel if a place was haunted, I just thought it was something that was because I had grown up in that house. I thought, well, maybe there's a thing when you grow up in a haunted house where you can just tell if a house is haunted because it feels the same as that house. So, I mean, I was in huge denial, I think, about my gifts. And then when I started, even when I worked on the Howard Stern affiliate out here for 7 years, and my whole job was, in a 4-hour period, we'd take 70 calls. Somebody would call up, they would tell me their problem. I would listen for 5 minutes, sum it all up, make a joke about it, hang up and go to the next call. It was like shock jocking, and it never occurred to me I was good at it because I could feel people. And from doing that year after year, I mean, I could sit in a coffee shop with friends and tell you like who wasn't happy in their marriage and who had just stolen something. Still never occurred to me that it was gifts, really, until I started interviewing people on these shows on LA Talk Radio 11 years ago. And then even then, it took a lot of my psychic friends to start pulling me out of the closet and saying, you have gifts too. And I would say, oh, it's just intuition, or it's just empathy, and it wasn't that I didn't want to have it. It was just that I just figured what I had was what everybody had. It wasn't enough. And then my mother died in 2016. She and I were like soulmates. And she came to me 45 minutes after she died and literally dumped all of her gifts into me. And I know that sounds weird, but it was like 1 minute I had my gifts, and then I felt something hit the top of my head, and I suddenly had her gifts as well. And she said, look, kid, now it's your time. You got to do this. And so I hemmed and hawed, because obviously that was the story of my life with this. And then her birthday was the day of our last presidential election result. When the day the results came in, the day after the election, and I saw so many people fighting and getting angry with each other, and friends not talking to friends. And, her memorial was 3 days later, and my friends were, I'm not going to go if there's Republicans there. I won't go if there's Democrats there. And I didn't know what to do with myself and what that meant. And I could, as an empath, I could feel all of the kind of angst in our country. And then I got a download from Spirit that said, this is what you're going to do to honor your mom's teachings. You're going to start a movement of peace and love and kindness and unity. And I thought, okay, so I did that, and I amassed like 20,000 people. And then that summer, I didn't know what I was going to do with it. Spirit said, well, now you're going to make it a nonprofit. You're going to become a minister, and you're going to open your spiritual practice. And I thought, oh, like, that's ever going to happen. And then all those things fell in my lap. 2 weeks later, I met a man who ordained me. I met a man who helped me set up the nonprofit. And I threw out my psychic shingle, and ba-pow, there I was. And I was worried that a lot of my friends in the paranormal community were going to be like, you're what? Because I remember the days when investigators wouldn't take psychics with them. And right. I think the community has changed a lot in that regard. I think it's gotten a lot more psychic friendly. And so the truth is, when I'm in a place, because of all those things I just told you, my approach to investigating hasn't changed now that I'm out of the psychic closet. The only thing that's changed is that I'm more honest now about what I'm seeing and what I'm feeling, and not just striking it up to intuition. But you were talking earlier about whether or not it makes you – is it weird to get the input and to know what's going on? Is it easier with the analysis at the end? And I do think that's true, but I'm a terrible skeptic, and I don't mean that in a horrible way. Like, I'm not skeptical of anything you would tell. I'm a skeptical believer. Like, I'm open to everything, but I think to be a really good believer, you have to be a good skeptic, because if you're just going to be that person that believes everything, then you're never going to help to find the truth. And I'm very interested in us really discovering what's out there and getting the proof. And getting to the day where we can prove to the world that all of this is real,
Mm-hmm.
Did I answer all the questions?
Amen.
No, you did. And it's funny,
you did
good.
The
follow-ups are everything, which is in the history of our show, I've never asked 4 straight questions and just thrown it on someone's lap before. But you're the lucky
Thank
recipient
you.
Of that. And
I loved it.
So
I'll take four more.
Because I thought you could handle it. But now the follow-up
sure.
is now I got a follow-up for it. Which
uh-huh.
is it's interesting you mention it because we joke around often about, like, if we have psychic abilities. And we're like, you know, there's no way at this point, this far into being into the paranormal community, that either of us could actually say, hey, now we're psychic. And it's funny because you actually dispelled that whole, like, belief
mm-hmm.
that is out there because – people are like, okay, yeah, Rob, you've been doing this since 2007, you know, publicly. Now you're going to be psychic. And I think a lot of people feel that way. So it's kind of it's a good to say that and have it out there because it might help a lot of people. Because there's a lot of people
Absolutely.
Who might feel like they have that gift, but now they're like, oh, I've been investigating for 10 years, and now people are like, oh, yeah, why is he or why is she, you know, going to be psychic now all of a sudden? What's the
exactly.
angle they're taking on it? You know, so
yeah.
it's good to have someone, you know, almost
Absolutely.
Like say that and be that open to be like, hey, I did this. I had no motive behind it because I think and that's the downside of that. I think of just the way the world is right now is everyone thinks you have a motive or what's your angle.
Right.
You know,
well, a lot of people
mm-hmm.
do. I mean, honestly, a lot of people do. And I'm surprised I haven't heard more of that. And honestly, to be completely honest, the only people I've heard that from almost always are people who are also
mm-hmm.
psychics that are angry that, oh, so now she's a psychic too. And she's doing, because I think that there is, so here's my recent pet peeve. And, you know, I do go through this sometimes. My new one is scarcity consciousness, and it's across
mm-hmm.
the board, right? It's whether you're talking about people getting human rights or you're talking about people coming out of the psychic closet or why somebody gets, you know, a TV show and somebody else doesn't. You can't live your life thinking that if somebody gets something, it's being taken away from you. And there are
right.
certain people in the psychic community and in the paranormal community, right, that believe that if you get something, that's something they're not going to get. So if I become a
you
psychic, I'm going to take their
them.
Client. Exactly.
You stole
I
it
had
from
a
them.
Crazy psychic
oh, yeah.
tell me once, you stole my Facebook friends. And it's like, I'm so confused.
Oh,
like, don't Facebook friends belong to everybody? And how do you steal one? Like, I don't even know how you would do that. But because we work together in a lot of situations and people would friend us both on Facebook, this person thought
right.
I was stealing the Facebook. So there has been that kind of a thing. And I think that's the only time I've ever heard that. Well, wait a minute, now you're this. And I think one of the reasons that I was reticent to come out for so many years, and it really is a coming out process. It is, you do come out of that closet. Is that everybody, I live in Los Angeles, you know, since I was 13, and everybody in Los Angeles is either suddenly a psychic or a life coach or a wellness expert. And so, or a yoga instructor. So when I was like, oh God, I'm going to come out and people are going to be like, oh, another psychic. It's all we need. So I very much kept it to myself, even after I knew that's how I was interviewing people. And I knew that's what I was doing. Because I was very worried that if I did, I was going to be judged. And now I don't give a crap. But you know, then I was worried that people would think I was inauthentic. Because like you said, Rob, I've seen so much of the inauthentic. I've seen so many people trying to pretend they're something to get free drinks in a bar or get someone's mm-hmm. attention. And you know, I'm a good Irish girl from Connecticut. Like, I do what I say and I say what I do. And it never occurred to me in a million years to do that, but I was very worried that people would think that. And I'm actually very, I mean, even the guy who owns my radio station, like everybody has been so embracing of this new part of my life that is just a part I talk about now. And it's kind of really been the loveliest thing that ever happened to me.
That's awesome.
Well,
now I'm going to digress.
That's a story.
I love it.
Go ahead.
But I'm going to digress.
Please.
I researched, and I was 1.4 miles. I lived 1.4 miles away from your street. I can't even make it up.
How bizarre is that? How bizarre
I know.
Is that?
I was like, what? Because when you said Glenarm, I'm like, no way. Because people don't even know Glenarm, like, is a place.
I know.
Because it's
I
not
know.
Big, you know, so like
no, that's not really
1.4
a place.
Miles.
I know.
Right.
I know.
No.
So did
okay.
you live, did you grow up there?
No, I actually moved there. Oh gosh, I don't even know what year it was. I moved there for about a year, and
okay.
I lived in a house that was in a neighborhood that was all these really huge million-dollar homes built all around it, and this was like the original house. And it we had some very strange things. It was a lot of woods around it.
Sure.
We had a lot of strange things happen there. Things I still can't explain. Although I have to say, this house that I'm in right now has out-weirded that one, which is crazy. At the time, I didn't think it could get much weirder, but it did. But I'm telling you, that area, if people have never been there, they wouldn't know. When you're driving down like the Glen Arm Road, or you're going down like Manor Lane, you're going down the – you're winding through. You're right next to the water. It's just Indian burial ground, you know, all sorts of things have happened there. So the history is totally there. Yeah. That's so crazy.
And that river,
but now
that river has got some funky energy in it, right? That river has funky energy in it.
And it's got to have some dead bodies somewhere up in there, okay? Whether it's a long time ago or recently.
And giant water moccasins. When I first moved there, some of the neighbor kids took me inner tubing, and I'd never been inner tubing. You know, I wasn't from there. We get in the inner tube, and I'm in the inner tube, and a giant water moccasin swims up on either side of me. And I'd never seen a swimming snake. Like, I didn't know what the heck was going on. And I said, what is it? And the kids are like, oh, relax. It's just water moccasins. You're going to be fine. And I'm like, okay, that's not good. And that was my last time in the inner tube.
I don't care for that.
Well, and it's funny because from being in the paranormal world and being radio hosts, people always talk about haunted New England and the haunted South. And trust me, those places are the haunted Old West. And trust me, all those places are haunted. But I really believe the most haunted place in our country is the Mid-Atlantic region, Maryland, Delaware, Virginia, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
I think that is really Eastern Pennsylvania. I think that is really the most haunted area in our country.
Oh, for sure. I work at one of the most haunted inns in America. I work at the historic Farnsworth House in Gettysburg.
Wow.
I'm knee deep in ghosts all day and all night.
I love Gettysburg, though. I'm kind of a Civil War nut, so Gettysburg is my jam.
Well, next time you're in town, you'll have to give me a call, and I'll give you some VIP access.
I would love that. I have a friend who lives out there who's a General Grant impersonator.
Oh wow. Hey, maybe I need a number, because I do event planning at my work, and we have talks, and people come in, and they want someone dressed up, so that's what works. This would be really
My best friend
connections
and her son
all over
run,
the place.
Right? My best friend and her son run the biggest Civil War reenactment this side of the Mississippi out here in my hometown, my California hometown of Huntington Beach. And and his grant started getting so much work around the country that he moved to Gettysburg.
He must
I know
be a
we're
good
just all
one,
connected
then.
All over the place. He's a good one, and he knows everything about that man. He knows the stories. And to me, the Civil War is I could live in Gettysburg and be perfectly happy.
Yeah, it's very small town, and once you get to know that small town, yikes. But I do.
Yeah,
love
I get
it.
You.
I love it. It draws you in. It really does, for sure. Now, as a psychic, when you go out on investigations, like Rob was saying, do you have to like turn it on or off, or are you always on? Like, how do you handle the energies?
Do you know, I never turn it off. I'm probably, maybe that's not everybody's answer, but that's mine. Part of it's because I do 18 hours of radio a week, so I have to be present and in the now for live radio. Part of it's because I take 6-7 clients a day, private clients, and do cleanses, and I'm doing an energetic cleanse after I get done with you all. So it's I'm always sort of in the channel, so I don't turn it off. You just learn to filter out what you don't want to have to immediately deal with. And also you do a lot of protection prayers when you go into a place and you say to spirit, I stayed at this really haunted inn in Savannah a couple of years ago. And you just have to say when you get there, because the little children started giggling and the little feet were running around and the knock, 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 and you open the door and nobody's there. And I had to say, look, I realize that y'all are here and I'm happy that you're here. I have to sleep. So you kind of have to leave me alone until the morning. most spirits are good about leaving you alone if you tell them, I see you and I hear you, but I just need a break because I have to sleep or I have to eat or I have to have this conversation. Occasionally you get a real nasty one that has no respect, but for the most part, they just want attention. They want to be seen and heard.
Right.
So
now,
do
you ever had one of those Long Island, you know, the Long Island medium moments where you are at the, you know, you're at the deli counter and, you know, you're trying to get some cheese or something and suddenly a spirit's like, you have to relay a message. Does that happen in real life?
Sure. That happens. Yeah. And sometimes I get messages from spirit or what people call God source, which is how I channel for my readings. Where I'll be in like a, you know, I'm in a Hobby Lobby or something and spirit says, you need to go tell the manager he looks nice. And that happened to me once. And I walked into the man, he had this beautiful pink shirt on. And I said, excuse me, sir. And he turned around. He looked like, oh God, I got to talk to somebody. And I said, you look really beautiful in that shirt. And I hope you're having a good day. And he kind of grabbed my arm and said, you know, no one ever talks to me unless it's to complain. And he got a little teary. Like, I think when he saw me, he was like, here comes the complainer. So sometimes I get messages from spirit for how to make people feel good. You know, just basically, you know what someone needs to hear today. They need to hear this. And I love that. So, or sometimes I get messages from, I have a client who has a deceased Sphinx cat that I think has passed. I don't know how long he's been gone, but I didn't know her when he was alive. And he comes and visits me, sits in my car sometimes because I really want to get a Sphinx cat. And he asked me all kinds of questions about her when I'm driving. And then sometimes he'll just say, like, so when are you going to get that Sphinx? And he kind of gives me a hard time about it. He just sits in the passenger seat. So, yeah, that kind of thing happens. Sure, I don't often walk up to people like a Teresa Caputo thing. No offense if she does it.
Right.
But just because I get a message doesn't mean I need to walk up to some stranger in a store and make them cry while they're picking out broccoli. You know, I don't.
Right.
I keep it to myself a lot.
Totally. I totally understand that.
Has that actually happened? Because it seemed like you let that come out really fast about the broccoli thing.
About
it
the
sounded
broccoli?
Almost if that wasn't – yeah, that almost happened,
it's,
didn't
yeah.
it? Because that's true.
I swear to God, right. every I don't know what it's about broccoli, but as soon as somebody picks up broccoli, a dead loved one starts talking to me. Yeah,
I'm about to pick up some broccoli.
That was from
now.
Experience, I could tell.
Exactly.
I could tell
exactly.
It was from experience, not just from –
It's a you know, hashtag it, produce blues. Yeah.
There you go.
Just like, I always joke and I always say that every psychic has to have their index finger and their middle finger, and they have to put it on their forehead before they can get a or their temples
exactly.
before they can get an accurate reading. I'm pretty sure that's
exactly it's
another
a thing.
Thing that has to happen. So if
exactly.
you have that,
unless your hands are full of broccoli, and then it's just a mess.
Right.
You don't want to drop the broccoli. Yeah.
And then I have to consult the owl that sits on my shoulder and ask it what I should do.
Right. That would be the trifecta for the can you imagine if you had broccoli, two fingers to your temple, and the owl? What could you would just be like, you get it all.
I see a logo. I see a logo happening. You know, we do like to play with Photoshop. We might have to make one for you.
Yeah. Make sure you put me in a glow-in-the-dark stars and moons moo-moo. Because I think you definitely need that with the matching press-on nails, the stars and moons glow-in-the-dark press-on nails. Because I think that's how every psychic should look in their head. I don't look like that. I look like a nice girl from Connecticut. When it's like a room full of psychics, I always look like if you've ever watched The Munsters, you know how they have the niece that looked totally normal? That's how I always feel when I'm in a room full of psychics, because they always have 150 bracelets on and, you know, there's a stuffed cat on their shoulder that it was actually their living cat at one point. And I just look like I fell out of the L.L. Bean catalog. So it's always kind of an interesting thing for me.
It is, and I think there's
it's
always like a whole bunch
belong?
That have, I think they were
I'm
wolf
sorry,
t-shirts too. I think they were
yes,
wolf
exactly.
t-shirts too. I
exactly,
think that was,
yes.
we've done a couple of those events and we're like sitting there and they're looking at us like we're the weird people. And I'm thinking, you know what? That's not accurate. And I know, and I mean that nicely because everything I say is with a smile. You know, I tend to think I'm funny. So I think the purpose of our radio show is for me to think I'm funny and for Nicole to tell me I'm not funny. I think that's the hidden purpose behind every
nice
one, any one of our, even our, like, it's just how, that's how we function. But I'm pretty sure, like, there's always the – no matter what psychic convention we've gone to and tried to, like, you know, promote something, there's been multiple people wearing even the exact same wolf shirt. Like, do you, if you show up wearing the same wolf shirt, is it, like – is it a thing, like, where you get mad, like, if you get show up wearing the same dress? I don't know if that's a thing or not, but you would think it would be because –
And that doesn't it have the wolf shirt.
I wore that
angel wings on the back, right? It has the angel wings on the back and the wolf on the front.
And it's definitely tie-dyed.
Yeah.
It's a tie-dye wolf t-shirt more than not. There's some kind of tie-dye involved.
To reflect our huge North American population of tie-dyed wolves.
Right.
Yeah. No, I don't look like that at all, but I have like a pink Oxford shirt and some penny loafers. Like, I'm just not. And you know, it's funny because, and I don't have, you know, I haven't changed my name to like Moldavite or I think that everybody has to present a different way in order to make the right people resonate with them that want to work with you. And I always tease my clients because I give very direct answers sometimes to things, very practical advice. And I always say, well, I'm from Connecticut and it's the Pepperidge Farm God speaking. But, you know, I think that some people like that. They want to be told. Some people want the very airy-fairy. And I'm very airy-fairy on the inside, but I don't really communicate like a foopy-la-la person. And I think a lot of people want that directness. And also, there are people that really want to consult a psychic, but some people are just too far out there for them. So there need to be all kinds of us of all different kinds of ideologies and the way we dress, the way we speak, and the way we communicate to appeal to everyone, because we live in a world now where everybody is starting to go see psychics, doctors and accountants and lawyers. I have clients all across the board like that. And, you know, we need to sort of, it needs to be what makes them comfortable, right? What's good for them. In the same way that some people want you to come into their house and paranormally investigate, and they want you to do the tough love and threaten to kick the ghost's ass. But some people want you to come in and use a more gentle approach. So it's the same thing with psychics. There need to be all different kinds of us to appeal to what different kinds of people need for help.
Right. And I think that's a great answer. And I think if you're true to yourself, that's all that matters. And even when we investigate, you know, we'll show up and people who have not, you know, met us before, or, you know, we've gone and investigate and they bring their friends out to come and, you know, hang out with us or whatever. They're like, well, we can't believe you guys are investigators. And I sometimes I'm not even sure what that means, you know, but, you know, I guess maybe people have like a standard opinion of what a paranormal investigator looks like or does or whatever, but apparently we don't fit that mold because there's a lot of people that are surprised that we're investigators, you know, and I don't know if it's because I don't wear a black t-shirt and stand with my arms
it's
crossed.
It's your cardigan,
the entire
Rob.
Time.
Yeah,
it is. I do
it's
like
the cardigan.
Cardigan here and there.
Yeah.
When it's cold.
Do you wear a camouflage knee-length cargo shorts?
So here's the thing. That's the funny thing is I never wear cargo shorts because I'll
then
be
42. Then you're not a paranormal investigator.
Well, I've been nothing but cargo. That's I'm not cargoing anything.
Yeah.
You
could
cargo some equipment. I could, but then it like it hits against your legs and stuff, and
it adds
extra bulk and. I think it was like 2 years ago. I finally, at one investigation, I brought all my cargo pants and shorts to her kid. I'm like, here, just give him my cargo. I'm not cargoing anything. You know, and I'm just not that a cargo type of guy. I don't know where I'm going with that,
but
I just, that's just not me.
It's interesting how there's a paranormal investigator wardrobe, right? And it's unisex, like men and women dress the same in the same cargo shorts.
Right.
They do. And I don't get it. But yeah, it's a uniform. It really is. It's their uniform.
It is.
I don't wear
it. It's their uniform. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and sometimes
that's
it comes with a fanny pack.
For other things. Yeah, no. I will never do that.
What do you get mistaken for?
We get mistaken for anything other than paranormal investigators. People are like, "Well, what are you?" You know, like when we go to like a Comic-Con, they're like, we're on a speaker's board, you know, and we're walking and they're like, well, who are you? What are you? You know, and we're not in costume, you know, we're not dressed up as a cosplay person. And, you know, we're not wearing the paranormal look uniform, so they just don't know why we're even doing anything. They're totally confused.
Well, I think there you have to wear like a Ghostbusters outfit. If you don't wear a Ghostbusters outfit, you're not authentic. You know,
right.
So I think that's the issue.
Yeah.
And I do not own one of those, and I don't think I ever will.
No.
You know, there's a lot of things that change in your life, but I do think I'm pretty secure in saying that I'll never wear or have one of those, and that's okay.
Yeah, I think that's extremely okay.
In fact, it's the only way that I'll keep working with you.
Why I'm not hanging up the phone right now. Yeah, that's
right.
I think that's a face we need to show to everybody, right? Including the face of not all paranormal investigators are there to scream at and antagonize spirits, because that's
mm-hmm.
not everyone's approach, and not everyone needs to do that. And maybe a spirit doesn't want to be screamed at. Would you walk into somebody's house and scream at the living people? I just don't know that we need to scream at everybody. Maybe that's my other pet peeve right now, is why are we screaming at the spirits and threatening to kick their butts?
No, I totally agree. And when we do our investigating, the way we're talking, the three of us right now, is how we investigate. And we
mm-hmm.
get some of the best evidence, and consistently get really good evidence. And I think it's because we make the spirits, I wouldn't say feel at home, but I for lack of a better description right now, we kind of, you know, we're coming into their space and we're talking to them, you know, normally and showing that we're having a good time and they like to interact. And we find that's mm-hmm. like the key to what we do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because another thing is if you're going to investigate from a negative standpoint, what you're going to attract is negative spirits. And I understand some people want to attract negative spirits because they think that's exciting. But unless you're mm-hmm. really prepared to deal with negative spirits, that's not exciting. You know, if you've got some seasoned paranormal investigators, that's one thing. But don't take a bunch of newbies into a place where there's something really, really terrifying, because people take stuff home. And, you know, people, that's my cat. See, I do have a cat, so I am a legit psychic.
There you go.
You know, there you go. Now there's the proof. My cat is actually giving readings to everyone right now. They, you know what I mean? Isn't she the funniest? She does think she's the psychic. She's like, oh, am I doing a radio interview right now? Let me go. I mean, I think that you have to be very careful. Having grown up in that home, right, you have to be very careful who you bring into a negative, negative place. Do you both agree with that?
Well,
totally.
I do. And I think there's
totally.
People that either look for negative only or bring their own negativity into it and then influence investigation because their negativity is brought into the room or into the investigation. You know, and I think there's so many different aspects and so many different mindsets. But I do think when people come in and they have a negative outlook, it could spark additional, you know, negative responses. And
if you look for dark, you're going to find it. If that's all you're looking for, you know, that's what you're going to find.
You're 100% right. And, you know, I tell my clients all the time along the same vein, so called it, if you're looking for things in your life to suck, you will find it. I will find things in my life that suck if I'm looking for things in my life to suck. You have to go in to your life in general looking for the positive things. It doesn't mean you have to ignore the negative and be, you know, put on your rose-colored glasses and la-la-la your way through life, but you do have to look for the positivity, and I think that at one point, it's gotten better now, but at one point, so much of the paranormal community was like, well, you know what, if it ain't a demon, I don't want to see it. And the truth is, I can tell you from living in an extremely negative place and from the very limited experience that I have had with demonic activity, if you go your whole life and don't see a demon, you're a lucky person because you don't want that in your life. It's terrible.
Right. Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. And it's funny because it's so, the demon thing is so mainstream right now. You know, we can be on an investigation and somebody will knock. Like, you go get a knock on the door and then someone will be like, oh my God, it's a demon. You're like, how does that doesn't even make sense?
Right.
You know,
right.
A knock on
yeah.
the door. You know, and that's what, like, when we even, you know, use our equipment, we try to, you know, preach responsible use of the equipment, because if you let that equipment lead you or lead your questioning, you know, especially because we use a ghost box a lot, and if people allow that ghost box to, like, lead their question, they can build a scenario. And we've gone through investigations with other people, really nice people, but we've seen them use the ghost box, which we feel is maybe not the best use of it, where they let the answers, like, that you're getting through the ghost box influence their questions, then you build a scenario based on that. And, you know, like, it's just, I think when we use the ghost box, if it's relevant to what we're saying, you know, our questions, then we run with that. But not if the question is like, hey, who is this? And they answer hot dog, then we don't just assume, oh my God, they're hungry. You know, because we just say, hey, that's something.
Sure.
So, and I think that's another thing, just going back to, is it a demon or not? People, a lot of, will just, because it's on TV or because it's on a movie, they'll hear a pin drop and they're like, oh my God, that's a pin drop of a demon. And,
well, and
you know,
obviously,
we all know that
doesn't hot dog, that's the hot dog demon. So that's a no-brainer.
Yes.
Clearly. Yeah.
Everyone
well,
knows to
actually,
beware of the hot dog demon.
Well, and we've gone through that scenario. Like, what's your name? And the answer through the thing is hot dog. Obviously, it's a baseball game or something coming through AM radio. And they're like, are you hungry? And the answer, I think, was green. They're like, oh my God, there's something with green in a hot dog. I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be the longest ghost box session in the history of ghost box sessions, because they're letting it lead you. And, you know, but to each their own. If they want to go home and think that there's a green guy who wants a hot dog, then that's what they took from the investigation. You know, that's
right.
Nothing that I would maybe go for, but, you know.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. What don't you like about the ghost box? I'm only asking because it seems like most people in the community, that's like the hot thing, that and the ovulus. Like, everybody loves both of those things.
Oh, so we use the ghost box religiously. I did not like the ghost box at first, and this was probably like 5 or 6 years ago. And then she was like, you know, give it a shot. And I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. And when I realized, when I actually sat and tried to listen to it and process it, I realized we were getting a lot of what I thought were answers to our questions that were interacting, you know. And it's not always the loudest word coming through that is what you need to focus on. You know, and when we go back and review stuff, a lot of times there's like little underlying words or underlying sentences that are directly answering my questions. And so I think as long as you get that, it's just determining if you've got that or not. You know, and, you know, we've had times that we've had full sentences come through and things that there's no way it can't be, in my opinion, spirit communication. And I'm like the most skeptical person out there. You know, when it comes to, there's, I can send clips all day long that are like, hey, this is what we feel is a direct paranormal finding because it came through the ghost box. So we're definitely, I would say, pro ghost box. It's just using it the right way, in our opinion.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. And not using it obsessively. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to use it obsessively, I remember there was an episode of Paranormal State years ago where they went to this woman's house and she had boxes and boxes of little mini tapes that she had used to do these sessions. And she's freaking out that there's stuff in her house. And I'm thinking, well, honey, no wonder there's stuff in your house. You're opening up that channel and inviting spirits to talk to you like 12 hours a day, every single day. I always liken that and the, you know, the ghost box and the Ouija board. And I mean, I always say it's like if you take off all your clothes and walk in a bar at 2 a.m. and say, who wants to have sex with me? You're going to get takers. You're not going to like who you get, but you're going to get takers. And it's kind of like that.
Right.
If you keep opening up that channel and saying, who's out there, who's out there, who wants to talk to me? Yeah, stuff's going to come in, and it's going to be that icky stuff that haunts your house and never leaves, because who else but spirits with too much time on their hands would be hanging around all night long waiting for you to turn your ghost box on. So you have to be careful about how much you do that stuff.
I agree.
Well now I think we've well exceeded our interview portion of tonight's show. And I think we could have done we could have had you on for the interview and do a free reading night separate. We probably should have hindsight. You know, hindsight is. not didn't really work out. But so when it comes to doing your readings, and you do them on air now,
mm-hmm.
What is it? So we like to just, you know, push through. We take one question. So people would like, you know, you would like for obviously them to have their questions set. Are there specific questions that you prefer to answer with a specific topic that you will and will, like,
no.
you will not answer, or
I'll answer. And the only thing I don't answer is I'm not going to give you any expiration dates on anyone, grandma, the cat, you, you know, spirit has told me you don't tell people when they're going to die. That's it, because it's
right.
not
you
okay.
Know.
Anything else?
You actually know.
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
Wow.
Oftentimes I'm not given that information. Sometimes I am, but you'd be surprised, maybe not surprised, both of you. I have some clients who have elderly parents, and it's an ongoing thing every single day. Well, when's my mom going to die? And one last question about my mom, and I tell them every time, I'm not allowed to tell you. I'm not allowed. Because the thing is, if you know or you think you know when someone's going to die, then you're going to act differently with them and then, God forbid, tell them. And they're going to act
right.
differently for the rest of their lives. And that's not how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to live with some wonderment.
If we see you in person, you're, like, really nice to us, and you, like, have, like, this weird look on your face and stuff, then we know you know.
Sure. You're going to die.
Like, oh, crap.
Yeah. Well, you know what's really weird right now? Not to go off on a tangent, but here I go. Try being a psychic during the coronavirus.
Right.
Oh,
because
wow, yeah.
everybody wants to know, do I have it? Am I going to get it? Am I next? And it's like, you know what? I'm not going to tell you that. It's not, it's just
right.
not, it's wrong. Some things are just wrong. And that's one of those things I think that's just wrong. But everybody wants to know, do I have it? Am I going to get it? I mean, we live, talk about being able to feel people's everything in a haunted house. Try going into the grocery store in a face mask and looking at the fear in everyone's eyes. And normally when people can see that I'm sort of clocking them spiritually, even if I don't want to, the way I put people at ease is I smile and I talk to them. But now nobody can see my smile and nobody can hear my voice. So it is a little strange to be at Walmart now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because there's a lot of fear coming off of people.
And you legitimately
for sure.
can't hear people with the mask on. I thought maybe it's just me with my old ears. And I had I was at the hospital not that long ago, and people were talking with the mask on, and I'm like, I have no idea what you're saying. Just do what you got to do. None of this even makes any sense to me. I don't know where you're taking me. You're taking me down, because it was like a scene from 28 Days Later, and it was just, I had no idea what they were saying. So I just gave up.
Yeah.
I said, whatever. I'll sign. Okay, I'll sign. Not a problem. So.
Yeah.
I think maybe what we'll do is we will take the callers now. So we'll get their one question. Now, the way we address this is we go by area code. So we will give you the area code, and then we're going to bring them on. So if you're listening now and you hear your area code, most likely it's going to be you that are coming on. And then it's up to them if they want to give you their first name or a correct first name. You know, so because I don't like to say, hey, we have so-and-so calling from this area code, because they might not want their name out there. So we'll leave it up to them to tell you, or if they want to give a fake name. You know, I don't think they do, but you never know. So I guess we're going to bring the first one on now, and we'll see, how it goes.
And I don't need their real name. It's just nice to give a name so I can reference you when I'm talking to you, but I don't need a name.
And you'll
right.
know if it's a fake
cool.
name anyway.
Yeah, and I don't care. Yeah, I'll never tell anybody.
Right. All right, so we're gonna the first caller we have tonight is from area code 570. So, Nikki, if you want to bring them on.
Sure. 570, you are live.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, so my question is, I've been having a lot of mental health issues lately. What kind of guidance can you give me to help me get through this?
So a couple of things. Is it mostly anxiety, depression, anxiety?
Yes.
Okay. Has anybody ever told you that you're an empath?
No.
Do you know what that is?
No, I don't.
Okay. Do you notice that you feel everybody's stuff?
Yes.
Like if you're watching television and the commercial comes on with the one-eyed cat in the cage, do you have to turn off?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so you're an empath, sweetheart. And that means it's a psychic gift that you can feel everybody's stuff. Like I can feel you right now feeling everybody's stuff. So this is a very crazy time in our world right now. Very hard for empaths. So it's kind of escalated since the coronavirus, right? And the quarantine.
Yes, it did.
It's gotten
Absolutely.
Worse because there's that much more fear and that much more anxiety that you're feeling the entire pulse of the world. So an empath, you feel the earth, you feel people you know, you feel people you don't know, you're feeling everybody's stuff, and you need to learn. I teach a workshop for empaths called Why Do I Feel Everything? And it teaches you how to, because you take everything in as an empath. It's like your psychic skin is porous and everything comes in. And you just have to learn, sweetie, how to let things go. It's a constant exercise in releasing and also how to learn to put up screens and filters. So like the door has a screen so the air can come in, but the bugs can't. You need to be careful of what you let in energetically. And also you need to make sure anything that you don't need, you let go. It's like when you have a colander and you pour the spaghetti in and the nasty water goes out the bottom and you just keep the pasta. Because you're letting too much in, sweetie, and it's causing the anxiety and the depression, and especially is causing the anxiety, which is really causing the depression. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes, it does.
And you're going to be okay, sweetheart. There's nothing wrong with you. You're just special.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I'm going to give my info out at the end if you want to get a hold of me, and I'm going to send you some love right now.
Okay, thank you so much.
Take care, sweetheart.
You too.
Well, I think what we should do right now, though, is maybe you can get that information out.
Sure.
Where
yeah.
people can find you.
There are two really easy ways to find me. One is my phone number, which is 818-437-0886. It's hard for me sometimes to call because I have clients and I have radio that I do, but I can text pretty much all the time. And you may use that phone number anytime, even if you're just freaked out about what's going on with the coronavirus and you need someone to send you a text and tell you you're going to be okay. It's 818-437-0886. And if you don't like the phone, my email is sheena@iamraisingyourvibration.com.
Well, I'll be texting you a bunch tomorrow.
Good.
No,
text me. I'll tell you it's going to be okay. I'll tell you it's going to be okay, babe. It's going to be okay, Rob. It's going
to
be okay.
I just need someone to tell me it's okay. Because if I text
okay,
Nikki, she'll be like, suck it up.
Exactly.
Suck it up, buttercup.
We're all suffering.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's awful. There's no sympathy whatsoever, but I give very little sympathy, so I get back what I give, I think.
You know what? It's good to get what you give, baby. It's the balance.
I think that's how that works. I think that's how
it is.
I function and
it's
how
law.
People function. Like,
exactly.
I think I texted her. I was like, man, my leg girl here. She's like, well, that's obvious. You just had surgery. Suck it up. I'm like, okay, thanks. So anyway, we have
just trying to make you tough, Rob.
Yeah. Well, I'm tough. I'm tough on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Not
sure.
On the inside, but I don't know. But anyway, we're our next caller. Is area code 412.
All right. I'm going to bring 412. You are live.
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I was just calling. I'm not sure specifically what my question is, but I'm really trying to connect with my angels and my spirit guides just for any type of advice or direction. And sometimes I'm not sure what messages I'm getting. What do you see or what do you feel?
Sure. A couple of things. I'm sorry?
Okay. Or where are those messages coming from? Am I missing them or?
No, you're not missing them, sweetheart. Your guides are telling me that they're trying to talk to you all the time and you're mm-hmm. getting the messages, but you're dismissing them as not real. Is that right? So you ask for the questions and you hear the answer, but then you think, oh, that's just me in my own head. I'm just making that up. And I understand that because you're a very kind of salt of the earth, you know, are you northern half of the country, right? You're somewhere where people are very brass tacks. And so it's normal to think, oh, I didn't really hear that answer. That's just me in my head making it up. But they're kind of a little frustrated because they're trying to contact you. I can tell you that you have three, and one is ancestral. Somebody from your actual lineage, somebody that would be like in your 23andMe or Ancestry.com, not alive when you were alive, because spirit guides are not on the earth when you're on the earth. It has to be far enough back. It's a male, like a, I don't know if you've done your ancestry, but like a great grandfather. And then one is what some people would call an off-world being or an interdimensional being. The other is, was also here, but is not related to you, indigenous to, Native American, but more up north, like upper Western Canada, Alaska area. Very, very old female, very, very old female, interdimensional being, you know, gender on interdimensional beings can be kind of, gender is not a concept they know. So the gender is yes, something. And they're always trying to contact you, sweetheart, but you need to listen. So I always tell people, get in a really quiet place. If you can meditate, terrific. If you can't meditate, that's okay. Get in a quiet place. And sit somewhere quiet and just let your mind open up and try to make it as free of busy monkey brain chatter as you can. And then ask the questions and listen for the answers, because they feel like they're telling me that you're a little blocked. And yeah. Part of it's because you want to hear the messages so bad that you're allowing your three-dimensional brain to override your spiritual brain. Part of it is that you are, you know, a little bit of a show me girl, so you want to be a believer. And then part of it's that you've got a lot going on in your life right now, which is why you're seeking the guidance, but it's also why you're allowing emotions and thoughts and stuff that are of this world override the messages that are coming in from another world, from the other world, from the universe, from the real world. This is kind of just like the Matrix. That's the real world. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So you're 100% going to be okay, sweetie. You just need to listen.
Okay.
And the message is believe in you. Trust you. Trust what you're hearing. Don't always doubt. And that means don't doubt the messages from spirit. It also means don't doubt yourself three-dimensionally. You doubt a lot. You have a really easy time believing in everyone and a hard time believing in you, sweetheart. Right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, gotta believe in you, baby.
Thank you. Yeah.
You betcha. My pleasure, so, sweetheart. Take care of you.
Thank you. You too.
Well, I think that was motivational. I'm motivated.
Thank you. Good.
I know.
There's always a little motivation in everything I do. I just think it's important, and when I give, especially when I read for folks on the radio like this, or on video or TV or something, I try to always make sure that I explain the messages in such a way that I'm speaking to her, but there might be 1,000 people listening that need the same message. So Spirit kind of has me deliver the messages in a way that doesn't just help the caller, but anybody else that might be listening.
Do you ever get, when you do your free reading nights, that you have a message for somebody, but it's for the wrong caller? Like it's someone coming through, but they're like, can't wait? Because we've had it happen, and it's almost too bizarre not to be almost accurate, where like they've given a message and it's almost like someone is like listening, they're like, oh my God, I think that message was for me. You know, one of the other callers.
Sometimes. Yeah, it does. It happens. It does happen sometimes that spirits will show up for other people, and they're just so eager, or that they're just so loud that they won't stop. I think because I've spent so many years navigating doing a radio show where maybe there's 10 people on the phone and I have to navigate who's what voice, memorize the voices and the energy so that I can interview them all at one time. I think I'm more used to filtering out who's for who. But But yeah, there are spirits that try to butt into other people's readings and get attention and try to get you to talk to them. That happens all the time. They're just, it's like people, right? Most are very patient and lovely. Every once in a while you get one that's trying to cut in line in front of you all the time. And I think it's the same thing.
Nice.
That makes sense. Well,
yeah.
I think because we have limited time, we extended that interview, which is good because that means we liked you. We had really a great time.
Yeah.
And we're gonna have to have you back too, but we're gonna take one more caller. So we're gonna take one more caller at area code 321.
All right. 321, you're live.
Hello?
Hi.
Hey. I guess the one thing that's weighing on me question wise is our kids. They all have their own issue, whether it be mental, emotional, physical. And as parents, you know, we're trying to do what is right, and it just doesn't feel like every, you know what I'm saying? I can't.
Yeah. You're overwhelmed.
I am. So.
Right. Trying to navigate all the different problems and who belongs to who. What belongs to who?
Yeah, I mean, we try to help, but it's like, you know, are they going to be okay? Are we, what we doing, is what we are doing is enough?
Well, yes, and they're going to be okay, and you're doing great. So that's the first thing you need to know. Secondly, you need to know that you are raising really special kids, and sometimes kids that are really special have a lot of challenges when they're young because they need those challenges to go on and kind of really rock the world when they get older. And it's because you can handle it that you've been given a bunch of kids like this, because one kid like this is enough for folks to handle usually. But you're doing a beautiful job just in treating each one individually for their own individual isms. But it's really important, I think, sometimes when you get overwhelmed, sweetheart, Spirit is saying to think of them as special and not as troubled or as challenged. Because if you think of them for your sake only, because to think of them and their challenges is making you feel overwhelmed. And the best parent that you can be will come from not being overwhelmed. But you have to keep remembering that Spirit gave you these kids for a reason, not just because you can handle it, but because they're going to grow up and be little rock stars or big rock stars when they grow up. And that's why they're dealing with so much challenge right now.
It's, you know, funny you say that.
I'm sorry.
I said it's funny you say that because, like, my oldest child, you know, he's mildly, they say, mildly mentally handicapped, but I mean, to talk to him, short conversation, you'd never know. But
no,
you know, I've told him, you know, you're this way because when you do get old enough and you grow in your mind old enough, you're going to be an example to somebody else. And that's what I keep telling him because he's so hard on himself.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he's going through the challenges now, so that as he gets into adulthood, he's going to be so strong and so prepared to tackle anything. And what does mildly mentally handicapped mean? Like, are they trying to tell you that he has a low IQ, or what have you been told?
Well, he's 22, but he's probably mentally functioning at this point, probably a 16-year-old level. I mean,
okay.
He graduated high school on his own. He has a full-time job. I mean, he lives with us only because there's no way he just can't. You know, we started making him responsible for, like, some of his bills, like his cell phone, and we're slowly incorporating, like, responsibility for him so that, like, we're just trying to groom him so that maybe he'll, when he does catch up, you know, mentally,
right.
You know, that he'll be okay on his own.
Is he artistic?
No, he's got ADD, which... you know, which is a big thing, like with his anger issues. And, you know, he just, I don't know.
He has an artistic nature that has not yet been discovered. He doesn't write or draw or play music or anything like that?
He used to draw, but he doesn't anymore.
Yeah,
but
he's very artistic. When he finds that again, and also he's very, the ADD, he's very smart, and he's bored because he moves faster than the world.
Oh,
so he's kind of written the world off as boring. So it's not really that he's a 16-year-old intellectually. It's just that he sort of is like flipping the bird at regular life.
Mm.
He's refusing to grow up because he thinks life is very boring, adult life.
Wow. No, yeah, he does. He says that.
So it's not so much a mental challenge as it is sort of an emotional stubbornness. Like, but when he finds his art again and he finds what makes his soul sing, he will grow up very quickly, sweetheart. He's just lost.
Okay.
But he has the capability to be everything. He's very bright. He's just lost.
Yeah. He's a good kid, too. So
it's going to be okay. I'm going to send him some love.
Thank you.
Take care, sweetheart.
Thank you. You too.
Well, tonight went by so fast.
Yeah, it did.
You know, it's funny because there's like the cliche and the things that you say as a radio host that are standard. Like, hey, this went by so fast.
Right.
Or, man, you know, we are so excited to have you on tonight. And you know, 99% of the time it's accurate. And I'm going to say tonight it did go by super fast. And we were very excited to have you on. And we want to have you back. And it's like, those aren't just like the staple radio host, like, comments you make.
They're not pleasantries.
So,
they're for real.
No, they're not pleasantries.
I am here whenever you need me. I would love to come back.
Well, and I feel like we just hit the surface on some topics. And then we're like, oh, my God, we got to take callers, which I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just like looking like scrambling, and like that nicely, obviously. But I think we're going to have to do it again. So let us know when you can. And we're kind of at a good time because we're squeezing in some extra shows with, the weekend reading nights and stuff. And, it doesn't necessarily have to even be a reading night. It could just be another, talk about paranormal. We can have people even call about paranormal questions. So
sure. Anything you want,
let's go for it.
I will send you a text message or whatever we're doing, Facebook Messenger, however we're working it out. And I will set up another date right now. And always too, cause I can always, cause I work for myself. If I'm not on the air, I can always put something in, put me on your cancellation list for when people cancel. Cause I love to do this kind of thing and I should do it more.
That would be awesome because there's like a ton of topics that we didn't even come close to that I'm dying to get your point of view on. So we definitely need to do this again soon.
Let's do it right away. I'm gonna give your information and I'll give you my phone number and let's do it right away. I would love it. And again, 818-437-0886 is my number for you or for anybody that wants to text me. And my email, Sheena@IamRaisingYourVibration.com. And if you're interested and want to take a gander, my nonprofit, Movement of Peace, Love, Kindness, and Unity, that I mentioned earlier, that I started to carry on my mom's teaching, so it's really where my heart lives, is at raisingthevibration.org.
Now, do you also promote any other type of social media or anything else you have, like your YouTube?
Oh, I do,
Twitter?
Sure. I have Twitter, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. It's all just pretty much at Sheena Metal. So that thing.com/Sheena Metal is where I am everywhere. I think if you just type in Sheena Metal, you'll find me. I'm the only one, I think.
Just
perfect.
That's for, with the live paranormal,
luckily
we've been doing it for so long that we still function, but that's a lot easier. So, cool.
Yep.
Well, we definitely appreciate you. We appreciate you having the time.
I appreciate you both. This has been a joy. It's a great show, and you're wonderful.
Thank you.
No, you are.
More guests
fun.
Have to tell us that. That's how we need to end all of our shows now. The guests have to tell us we're wonderful.
Yeah, I had a blast. I can't wait to come back.
That's what we need.
Awesome. Well,
that's
thank
official.
You so much.
And all of our emails, Nikki, make sure you take a note of that. They have to tell us we're wonderful.
Okay, I'll make that in that invisible, font. Yep.
Yeah.
You got it.
Nobody coach me.
Right.
I said
all right.
Of my notes.
Well, thank you again, and we will talk to you shortly, and we'll set that up. So.
Yeah, sounds good. Take care, my friends. Thanks for the wonderful interview.
Take care. Awesome. Thanks. Bye bye. That was super cool. That was so cool.
It was fun. It did go by super fast. I have a lot of
fellow
questions.
Former Marylander, who I lived 1.4 miles at one point, not at the same time necessarily, but how weird is that?
I'm a little
That's
jealous,
so
and I feel as if the next time I come out that way, we're going to have to go find this house.
Yeah. Well, and I'll have to take
you
over in that area. Just the area in general, it has a vibe. It really does.
But you can't cheat and go and see it ahead of time.
I could blindfold you and just drive you around, and I'm telling you, it feels different. And you and I both know we've had that experience before something happens or in areas where there's just a feeling. And it's hard to describe, especially on radio, obviously. But it's a feeling. And I guarantee you, I could blindfold you, drive you around for hours, and you would know when you were there. Maybe
that's
okay. We'll have to do it.
I'm always up for being blindfolded. And being
I don't know that I should blindfold you and drive you around because I think you'll get car sick.
Okay, so I've driven in a car with you in the front seat, and I've gotten car sick, not blindfolded. So I'm pretty sure that would be accurate.
Yep. And trust me, it gets windy. You would get incredibly, incredibly car sick.
Maybe I'll drive, and you can tell me which way to go.
And then I always end up driving anyway.
We'll figure it out.
Maybe we'll Uber it.
But... throw everyone for a loop. So
surprise.
I think if you enjoyed our show tonight, if you had a reading and you found it beneficial, please leave a message on our Facebook page because we would like to know. And I think we're gonna have her back. I think we should do
we
it
have
soon.
To.
I think that's you know it's always funny because like sometimes we've had guests on. It's been like years and the gap between. You know, when you talk to them, there's so much, like, there's not, like, an awkwardness, but it's like, hey, we haven't talked to you in forever. It's like, what is there to talk about? You know, or what can we pick up? There's nothing you can pick up from the past interview. Where I think if you have somebody on soon thereafter, you can just kind of roll with where you were before. You know, because there's so much that can change over a year or two that your conversation is really no one's voice from the last interview. And we don't usually
right.
do that.
But
so it
I
might
have
be worth
so
it
many...
to do.
Things like I made notes and before the show that we didn't even come close to touching on, and you know before I lose my notes, although mine aren't written on an envelope, we definitely need to get her in soon because I really would love to get her take on it because I think she's got some really awesome points of view. Of course, I agreed with largely with all of them, so maybe that's why. But
right, that's right.
I definitely would.
I agree with everything that you say. So that would be right. Because there's a lot of times you're like, I don't agree with anything they say. We should never have them back on again.
Right, and I say that while I'm on air. I've never said that because people are entitled to their own opinion and their own thought processes. There are some that I just can't swallow or swing, but that's theirs and that's theirs alone. I don't have to. Some I find hard to relate to, like aliens sometimes. They're just kind of,
right.
I don't know. I think I need to, I found that Agent Aliens is on Netflix, by the way. So maybe I'll have to get into the alien vibe by watching it. And I wanted to let you know that, and I keep forgetting. So what better time
Thank
than
you.
On air to let the listeners know too? Yes.
And it's a non-paid, you know,
you're welcome for the plug there.
Yeah.
Netflix and Ancient Aliens. You're welcome.
All right. Well, then we'll talk to everybody soon. As you know, we've been coming up with surprise shows, but if there's not a surprise show, we will be back this weekend with our weekend free reading nights. And if not, maybe something sooner. You never know. It's up to the other host.
Yeah, it's up to me. But it doesn't mean that I don't love you guys. It's just getting back into this work thing is painful, guys. but hopefully you guys are staying safe, washing your hands, and we'll definitely tune in if we have a surprise show, or if not, our weekend editions of Free Reading Night or what have you of Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio. Thank you all for tuning in.
I got a feeling
night.
It might throw Sheena back in the mix for this weekend.
We have to. She brought.
I extend you. Yep.
All right. Awesome.
Talk to you soon.
All right. Everyone have a good night. Bye.